So, we are continuing our series today on the commands of Jesus. So last week we had an introduction to the series, and that's available to listen to online, should you need that. A few more details about what's happening and resources and things like that, so I encourage you to listen to that if you want to. The series is inspired by Matthew 28 verse 18, and Jesus comes to the disciples and he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So we're looking at the commands of Jesus, and I'm praying that through this series, as disciples, we will get to know the commands of Jesus. And then we'll learn how to obey them. And then also be equipped to make disciples ourselves by teaching other people what the commands of Jesus are, and then teaching them to obey them and how to obey them as well. So the first command we're looking at today is the command from Jesus that you must be born again. So in John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to an expert in the scriptures called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus has come to Jesus in the night, in secret, because Jesus wasn't favored among the religious authorities. He came against them in many ways. But Nicodemus said that he saw God in Jesus, so he wanted to go and see Jesus. And in the conversation, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so Nicodemus is a bit confused at this idea of being born again when he says in John 3:4, "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asks, "Surely you can't enter a second time into your mother's womb to be born?" And Jesus is actually quite surprised that Nicodemus has no idea what Jesus is talking about, because Nicodemus is supposed to be an expert in the scriptures. And Jesus is surprised because throughout all the scriptures, God had promised to cause his people to be born again. And there's several examples. One example is through the prophet Ezekiel. And it says in Ezekiel 11:19, God says through Ezekiel, "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put into them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh," or give them a new heart, or give them a soft heart. And he goes on to say later, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you, and I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." So Jesus was expecting Nicodemus to connect these things, to connect his command, "You must be born again," with God's promise of a new spirit as a gift, as revealed in the scriptures. And then because Nicodemus doesn't make that connection, Jesus then carries on teaching Nicodemus that God's spirit will play a part in bringing this new spirit and this new birth. Because Jesus says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." So it causes us to ask, what does it mean to be born again? And to be born again is to be made spiritually alive by the Spirit of God. That's what it is to be born again. It's to be made spiritually alive by the Spirit of God. When Jesus says that flesh gives birth to flesh, he's saying that our first birth is not enough for us to see the truth about God. And he's saying that we're all born physically into this world, spiritually dead. We're not born with hearts that desire God. We're not born with hearts that value God. And that's why Jesus says, you must be born again. Because to see the kingdom of God, to want to know God and to want to please God, being born physically isn't enough. You can't be spiritually dead and have God as your supreme desire. You must be spiritually alive. You must be born again. Because the spiritually dead cannot see the truth about God. They can't see the true worth in God. And actually, John Piper talks about how the idea of Jesus and his commands and the kingdom of God is actually uninteresting and foolish to the spiritually dead. It just sounds ridiculous. And therefore, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. He says that Jesus sees all of humanity divided into two parts. Those who are merely born once, born of the flesh, the spiritually dead, and those who are born again by the Spirit of God. Those who are alive to God and see his kingdom as true and supremely desirable. So this command from Jesus, if you remember last week, I was going to say each command was tough. Each command was tender, and each command requires a response. So tough, tender, and response. So this command from Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, this command that you must be born again is tough. And it's tough because it's tough to hear that we must do anything. Isn't it? You must. It's like, oh, straight away we're like, oh, what's that? You must be born again. And this command, it confronts the spiritually dead condition of all humanity without Christ. And it reveals that we're all born into a state of being spiritually dead, and we actually have no chance of coming alive and seeing God's worth without an intervention from God himself. Without an intervention from God himself by his Spirit, we cannot be spiritually alive. And it's tough to hear that. It's tough to hear that we're spiritually dead without Jesus. It's tough to tell people that. And it's tough to hear that unless God does something, we cannot be born again. It's tough to hear that unless God makes a move and helps us by his Spirit, we have no hope. We are spiritually dead. It's tough to hear that. It's tough to hear that we cannot raise ourselves. Surely I can do something. We can't. We're dead without Jesus. We cannot raise ourselves. We need the outside help of a Saviour to raise us from spiritual death. And nobody is born again in their own strength. Nobody is born again from their own decision. Everyone who is born again because God does it. So John writes, the Apostle John, 1 verse 12, he says, yet to all who did receive him, talking about Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And he says, children not born of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. God is the one who causes us to be born again. And that's tough because it confronts the reality of our state without Christ. And it actually rejects any notion that we have it within ourselves to save ourselves. We don't have it within ourselves. We need God in Christ by the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever talked with a fellow believer about sharing Jesus, and you said something along the lines of, you know, I've been sharing Jesus for someone, I've been praying for someone, and you said, I know I can't make them believe in Jesus. I can only give them Jesus as best I can and pray for them, and then the rest is up to God. You kind of know that it's God that does the work. Well, just like we can't cause the salvation of others, neither can we cause our own salvation. Let's not forget that. So Ephesians 2 verse 4 to 5 says, as we read earlier actually, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. God made us alive with Christ. God is the one who caused us to be born again. There's a theologian called Voddie Baucham, I think that's how you pronounce it, and he says this: you were dead, but now you're alive together with Christ. This is important because this is the doctrine of regeneration, the regenerating work of God, being born again. This is God making us alive. This is God making us born again. And no matter how many times we hear out there in popular evangelicalism that we sort of born ourselves again, you can no more born yourself again than you born yourself the first time. So who here among us chose to be born physically? We didn't choose to be here. And it's the same to be born again. He says, being born again is an act of God. Being born again is a supernatural act. Being born again is something that you don't ask for. You don't have sense enough to ask for because you're dead. God does this. And it's by his grace that he does this. And it's for his glory that he does this. It's because of Christ that he does this. And it's by grace alone. So again, we have no say in our first birth. And it's God who caused us to be born again. Being born again is no more our doing than our first birth. We were spiritually dead. And now he has made us alive together with Christ. You may have noticed in the passages in Ezekiel where God is saying, I will cleanse. Not if they work hard enough, then I might think about it. Jesus, all authority in heaven and on earth, at one with the Father by the Spirit, says, I will cleanse. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. I will, I will, I will, I will. God does it. And it's tough to hear that we must be born again, and it's tough to hear that God alone can save us. And it does open questions about salvation, but we won't go into all of that today. But there is a passage for us in John 16:8, when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit there, about how the Holy Spirit is the one who causes salvation in Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us. It's the Holy Spirit that causes us to see that in Christ alone can we be saved. And it's the Holy Spirit that opens our hearts to see that we're going to be judged by God one day. We need a Saviour. And it's the Holy Spirit that causes those things to happen. No one else can do that. God alone is the one who causes us to be born again. And that is tough in some ways. But this command is also very tender. And it causes us to experience the tenderness of God because it carries a tenderness of the heart of God that he would indeed save anyone. That God would come into your life, into my life, into our lives, and come and save us. That God would save lost sinners like us and cause us to be born again into new life, into his family. That when we were dead, he came to make us alive. And it reveals the loving heart of a loving father who saved us from ourselves. If you remember in the prodigal son, when the prodigal son returns, the father says, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again." It's the heart of the father to cause us to be born again. It's the heart of the father that causes us to be saved. He was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And through this command, Jesus is revealing the tender and saving heart of God to resurrect dead people, to raise spiritually dead people from their state of dead hopelessness and causing them to be born again, giving them new life. And we don't cause ourselves to be born again by following a set of rules and regulations and trying to make it happen. Born again is a sweet and precious intervention of God. It's a sweet and precious saving work of God himself by the Spirit in Jesus that gives us new hearts. It gives us new lives. We're born again into new life and new identity in him. And God's tender heart to save us is revealed as he alone is the cause of anyone being born again. Now, what mercy that God has shown to cause us to be born again. What love, what a father, what a savior. What power by his Spirit. So Jesus' command, you must be born again, is tough. And it's tender, and it requires a response. And when we think about how to respond to this command, we can think and recognize there's actually quite a mystery to this notion of being born again. As Jesus says in John 3, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. There's an element of mystery to it, isn't there? We might say, God, why did you make her born again? Why did you make him born again? Why haven't you made that person born again yet, as far as I can see? Why haven't you made them born again? Why have you made me born again? There's an element of mystery to this salvation, because Jesus says there is. And if in Psalm 115, verse 3, it says, "Our God is in the heavens, he does all that he pleases." God does as he wills, when he wills. So a good response to this command is to seek God for what only he can do. To come to God, who does as he pleases, and ask him to do what only he can do. And then teach others to do the same. Explain to people, being born again, you must be born again. It's a work of God. Seek God. Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." John Piper says, "Moral improvement of the old you is not what you need. Trying to improve the flesh, it's not what you need. New life is what the whole world needs. It's radical, it's supernatural, it's outside our control. The dead do not give themselves new life. The dead. They can't do anything. We must be born again, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's what Jesus is commanding of us. And he commands it from all the nations of the world, because wherever you're from, you must be born again. And we respond by coming to God for ourselves and on behalf of others and crying out to him to do a work in our lives and to do a work in the lives of others. Father, in Jesus' name, by the Spirit, do what only you can do. So I'd like to conclude today, preacher's conclusion, 10 more points, by asking this question: how do we know we're born again? You know, how do we know? Is it because you wear a green cardigan? I wish it was. I'd buy a lot of green cardigans for everyone. We know we're born again when we are living a transformed life, inspired and empowered by the love of God. So there's a place for looking back at moments in time. Perhaps we experienced God in a special way. Maybe we surrendered our lives to him with someone, or at an event, a group meeting, or a service, or a home group, or something like that. There's a place for that, to be knowing that we were born again. But one very important thing that we can't ignore is that we know we're born again when our hearts have been transformed by the love of God, so much so that the love of God for us has gone from an abstract truth to real in our lives, and then we desire to seek and live a life that pleases God. We seek to live a life out of a love for God to please him. I want to obey the Lord because he's my Father. I want to honor my Father because he's God. I want to follow Jesus because he's Jesus. He's Lord. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. I want to be led by the Spirit. And it's a love that he himself has awakened in our hearts. So Augustine, a theologian in the first century, he talks about how we know we are born again when our loves are being reordered. So the idea is that whereas before, the love of things like acclaim and fame and approval and all those things, they were our greatest love. They were that our love for them was more real than our love for God. We might have had scriptures and God in our minds, but actually our hearts were driven by approval, by people seeing how good we are. But now, being born again, the love of God is more real in our hearts now. We've been transformed. And now things like what we look like to other people is inferior to God's love for us. And we begin to prioritize following the Father in Jesus' name by the Spirit. We begin to prioritize pleasing God, even if other people are challenged. We're following God now. And our love for God drives us. Our love to please God is what drives us. And we trust God. And then God looks after those things that might challenge us. Tim Keller describes it as having the lights come on in our hearts. So we may have known Bible verses in our minds about God's love, but now they come alive in our hearts. We actually begin to sense that God really is real. God really does love us. God really has a plan for all eternity. So we can see from reading Romans 12, a born-again, transformed life, inspired by the love of God and empowered by the love of God, is when, out of a love for God, we have a deep core desire to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. That's our heart's desire. We have a heart's desire to want to live a holy life pleasing to God. Now we might miss the mark from time to time, but the deepest core of our desires is to please God. And the deepest desire of our hearts is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Do whatever you need to do, Lord. Transform me. Make me more like your Son. That's the desire of our hearts when we're born again. Romans 6. Out of a love for God, we desire to offer ourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Our hearts desire to offer every part of ourselves to God as an instrument of righteousness out of love for Him. And then from Romans 8, when we're born again, we do not desire or live according to the flesh, but now we live according to the Spirit, because we've been born again by the Spirit. Now, we still fight this sinful aspect of our humanity. There's a war going on between the flesh that's fading away and the Spirit that's risen up unto eternal life. But we know we're born again when we live and desire to live a transformed life. And we're empowered to live this life by God's love, because we know He loves us. And we love Him because He first loved us. And it's a desire to love God, to see God pleased. So we have a desire to fight the good fight of faith. Our hearts depend wholly on Jesus for salvation. And our hearts crave that reality of righteousness as we work hard in all that we do for Jesus. So I'm going to leave us with three words to think about that reveal a transformed life inspired and empowered by the love of God. I've been meditating on these this week. So these three words are knowing, obeying, and bearing. So knowing, when we're transformed and born again, we know it. We know it's happened. And being born again means that we know it's happened and we know God. And we're thankful that we know God. And we're thankful that He loves us and we love Him. When Jeremiah prophesied about the new covenant in Christ, he said, "They will all know me. All of them will know me." So, and we know we only love Him because He loved us first. God has come in and made Himself known. So it's knowing. Second one is obeying. So being born again means we want to obey God out of a love for Him. And again, we don't always do the right thing, but the core desire of our hearts has been transformed, been born again. We're new creations. And the desire to obey God rises up in us. And when we end up messing up and missing the mark, we feel it. In the sense that the Bible says we're slaves to righteousness, which means now we can't sin anymore and enjoy it. Have you noticed that? And actually, in the grace of God, when you feel down and out, because you've missed the mark, you've sinned, you've messed up again, and you find yourself in that position, that conviction itself is your assurance that you belong to God. Isn't that amazing? Years ago, I used to think when I'd messed up, I was like, I've blown it. But if we're thinking we've blown it, that means we're saved. Because if I was a slave to sin and I wasn't born again and I hadn't been made alive with God through Christ Jesus, I wouldn't care. I'd be dead. But now I've been made alive, I can see sin for what it is. I can see disobedience for what it is. We can see following the way of the flesh for what it is. It's death. It always ends up in a miserable place. But when you follow the Spirit, even though it is tough sometimes, because of the mysterious element of following God, we don't always see what he's doing. But when we're walking by the Spirit, we're obeying God. And the great thing is, when you become in Christ, this is amazing. Being born again in Christ means that we now depend on, and we live on, and we live in the perfect obedience of Jesus. So we stand on that foundation of Christ's perfect obedience, and we do our best to obey from there. And so we're not trying to obey to please God. God has already caused us to be born again in Christ. And now we stand on the foundation of his perfect obedience. No one obeyed like Jesus. No one is ever going to be able to obey like him. That's why we depend on Jesus. We're in Christ. We're born again in Christ. And so we work hard to obey from that place, from that foundation, from that foundation of Christ's perfect obedience. So that's knowing, obeying. Third one is bearing. Being born again means we bear the fruit of the Spirit and his love. That's what someone being born again will look like. Someone who bears the fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit works in us to cause us to be born again, and then fruit begins to be born from us. And it causes us to bear the fruit of love in every circumstance. Because oftentimes we think about the power of God as signs, wonders and miracles, and I'm open to that. But the power of God is also causing us to love people who without God's power we would see as unlovable. That's power. The fruit of the Spirit by the power of God causing us to love through every circumstance. The Spirit of God causing us to be joyful through trials. I mean, you need God's power to have joy through trials. Trials are horrible, frankly, aren't they? And how do you have joy in a trial? The power of the Spirit bearing fruit through you. The power of the Spirit causes us to be peaceful in our hearts. In an anxious, fearful, conflicting world. By the power of the Spirit, if you're born again, we can experience the peace of God. And the power of the Spirit causes us to be patient, to be kind and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled throughout all of life. We bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we might bear a rotten apple now and again. Or is it just me? But the evidence of being born again is the fruit of the Spirit growing through us. God is so interested in our character. He's not always that interested in the end result. That's important, but what is our character through trials? What is our character through conflict? What is our character through change? What is our character through pruning? What is our character when we're waiting? And he causes us to bear the fruit of the Spirit, so people come to us and pick our fruit. So we want to be people who, when people come to us, they're picking the fruit of love and joy and peace and faithfulness and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. J. John the Evangelist asks the question, how fruity are you? How fruity are you? What fruit do people eat when they come to you as a person? What fruit do people eat when they come to me? What fruit do people eat when they come to people from chapel and from the body of Christ? So that's how we know we're born again. We live a transformed life in the love of God. We desire to live a transformed life of knowing, obeying and bearing. And Augustine prayed, command what you wish, but give what you command. And he was praying to God to command what he wills and then empower him to keep it. So if we're born again, we can be thankful. Jesus has commanded us to be born again, and he has provided and given what he's commanded. Isn't that amazing? In his great mercy, he has caused us to obey his command to be born again. So I want to say congratulations if you're born again. You've obeyed the command of Jesus. You must be born again. It's happened. And that's our foundation because of what God has done. Through his mercy, his grace, he's empowered us to obey and be born again. And he's given us new life in him. And our heart's response in being born again is to be thankful for his grace and his power. Thank you that you laid out this command that I had no way of obeying. And you've caused it to happen in me. And Lord, now cause your knowing to be stirred in my heart. Cause obedience to be stirred in my heart, depending on the perfect obedience of Jesus. And Lord, bear the fruit of the Spirit in me. And bearing the fruit of the Spirit comes with pruning and challenges. And pruning hurts. But the fruit of the Spirit is being born in us when we're born again. So Lord, we thank you that you are both lion and lamb. Lord, you are both tough and tender. And we pray, Lord, that those who are not yet born again, they would know your great love and the riches of your mercy. Lord, I pray for every heart in the sound of my voice, that they would know new birth. And Lord, on behalf of everyone here, we cry out for those we know in our lives who don't appear to be born again. Would you do a work in their hearts, Lord? Would you cause your great love and the richness of your mercy to manifest, that they would experience you making them alive together with Christ? And Lord, those who know they're born again, Lord, would you refresh us in the reality of being born again. Refresh us in the reality of what's already true. And the truth is, you have caused us to obey your command. You must be born again. And Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice in our hearts. Lord, that we would hear your voice speaking in our hearts intimately, that by your Spirit you would say to us, you would say, in all my authority, I have caused you to be born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of me. Father, I pray we would all hear your voice in our hearts. I have caused you to be born again. In Jesus' name.